When exactly is the election that's coming up?
Early voting starts October 13th. It will actually be on the same ballot as the national. So you won't have two ballots or anything like that. You can vote anywhere in Galveston County. And when you give your ID, they'll pull up your FISD ballot. So we'll be at the very bottom. So you gotta scroll all the way down.
That's okay.
So the school board will be on there, and then the bond election will be on there as well.
Adulting is Hard podcast. I'm Alita, and this is Nikki Rhodes, and we actually know each other from the business, from my store, when we were actually consignment stores, how we knew each other mostly. And I'm not going to make any claims to say that I want to be involved in politics at all, because I don't. But you are running for school board, and I do live in Friendswood, and it's big on my heart to continue to talk about things that are happening in my home community and what's going on there. And so that's how we ended up here with you. So welcome.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I am really excited about this.
Absolutely. So one of the things that Nikki and I have been talking about is this isn't your first rodeo with the school district. So tell me a little bit about that. So you have one student that's in there. He's in the 10th grade, correct?
Correct. I have a son in the 10th grade, and then I have a twin sister who has... My nephew is in the 11th grade, and then my niece is in 6th, and then my littlest niece just started kindergarten.
So you have long history. Are you from Friendswood? You're not from Friendswood,
correct? I am not originally from Friendswood. I'm actually from Beaumont, which is a small town just like Friendswood.
I think everybody moves to Friendswood from Beaumont. That's my common theme.
Well, it is literally the same. I grew up in Beaumont, and when we moved here, it was funny. When we moved here, my parents came to visit our first little school carnival. My nephew was in kindergarten, and they were like, wow, this is great. And we actually saw a couple of friends that we have grown up with in Beaumont that had kids in Friendswood. And so my dad was like, this is the perfect place.
It's the same small knit community,
small town,
correct?
Everybody knows everybody. Everybody works together for the benefit of all, which is really important to me. So we are blessed to be here. We actually came from Beaumont to Pearland, and then that are roots over. In Friendswood.
Well, I'm so glad you've come on, and part of my, I had a connection with you already, so that was part of my, but I'd like to talk about some things that are going on in the district, but I want to start out with kind of, I don't want to call it the why, but I know the why is because you want to serve people is the answer. That's the good answer. That's a good answer there. But you've been on a lot of important committees. As you and I have talked, you've done a lot of things already in Friendswood, and your heart for service is huge. And I think for me, when I'm looking for somebody that's running for a position, especially related to our hub as a school district, when exactly is the election that's coming up?
Early voting starts October 13th. It will actually be on the same ballot as the national. So you won't have two ballots or anything like that. You can vote anywhere in Galveston County. And when you give your ID, they'll pull up your FISD ballot. So we'll be at the very bottom. So you gotta scroll all the way down.
That's okay.
So the school board will be on there, and then the bond election will be on there as well.
Okay. Well, those are two things that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. So let's define what does this, I obviously have a background in education. So, but what does a school board do? What is the role of the school board?
I feel the role of the school board is to support our district, to support Mr. Rohr and the administrators. I know they vote on some things that are presented to them. They voted on class rank when it was eliminated. They voted to move forward with the bond. The only person that they hire is the superintendent. All the hirings of the teachers and the staff come from the school district, from the administrators. But, you know, just be a support, just to be there for our district, to I think to be a voice for our district too. And
it's mandated by state laws. Every school district has to have a school board, y'all. There has to have a certain number of members. It's got rules that are governing over it. So, but it is, it's really a service. It's the regulatory agency basically for a school district for major decisions to make sure that they're following all of the state guidelines that are implemented. So let's go ahead and talk about it. I'm sure that there's going to be somebody that's got something to say, but let's go ahead and talk about the bond that's coming up, because Friendswood is in a position that we have to have this bond pass if we plan on keeping up with the districts that are around us. I've worked in Pearland. I've worked in Clear Creek. There are things that have to happen. So talk to me a little bit about this bond.
So there was a bond committee that was set up to research and evaluate what our needs were. And I was proud to be a part of that team, led by Mr. Rohr, of course. And again, it included students. which is, it's so eye-opening when the students are very, very vocal in a positive way about what our needs are. So when you ask a student, how is school and things like that, and they say, well, I wish I could take culinary, but it's always full. And then you're like, okay, so then they have to take an elective that they might not have really had interest in, but it was the one that was available. With the school bond, with expanding our high school, with expanding our elementary and middle schools, the high school level, if we can expand it, we can allow for more opportunities for kids to take the classes that they want.
So what is on the bond that's
on there? So on the bond is, there's a lot of components of it. And at the high school level, there's a new auditorium. There is, with the new auditorium becomes the domino effect of the old auditorium can be repurposed to add CTE classes and add fine arts.
What is CTE for those people that don't know
CTE
what that term is?
CTE is career and technology.
The wave of the future. That is where the wave of the future. The career and technology department. Okay.
And within that is some great programs that are lacking space. Robotics lacks space. There's a lot of good things that could come out.
There's a lot of hands-on classroom opportunities that need to happen that we're just quite, I mean, if you look at Friendswood and you look how it's grown over the, we've added in huge subdivisions and our high school hasn't gotten any update in that. Oh, but I mean, always the thing is I don't want to spend any more money. I mean, can't they use the money that they have? I'm going to go ahead and say this. I know anybody that hasn't done any looking into school finance, Friendswood ISD gets almost no money from the state and federally because we're not a low socioeconomic school. We do get our daily allotment. We do get that stuff, but we are dependent upon bonds to pass in order to keep being progressive in our school district. I mean, I hate to be like this, but COVID pushed us into getting technology that we were already behind other school districts in. I mean, we claim that we're one of the top school districts in the across the state, and we absolutely are. But if we don't get this bond to pass, y'all, we are not going to continue to be able to. Yes, our top 10% is always gonna. Okay, yes, our top 10% is always gonna be our top 10%. We have smart kids that come from affluent families. But y'all, we are not staying at the edge of producing kids that are going to enter the job field and be successful if we don't make expansions on this.
Exactly. And the thing with the bond is that Friendswood doesn't ask for bonds every other day. The last one was over 10 years ago. A lot has changed since then. We have gotten higher enrollment. What I think is great about our school district is everything is transparent. You go to FISD's district page, there is under parents, this says Bond 2020, all the information is there. They're putting it all out there. Nobody's hiding anything. To your point about why can't we use other money? There's certain money that's allotted for facilities and there's a certain money that's allotted for operations. And so all that is on the website. It was really, really exciting to learn. I didn't know about a lot of this stuff before I joined the bond committee. And I will say that it was very eye-opening. Again, hearing from students saying, we need this, we need this. It's a need. The timing, not great.
Not great.
Nobody will disagree with that. But long-term, we need this. And if we keep putting it off, it's just gonna take that much longer to occur, especially with Klein. They actually put out a video. The other thing about all these facilities that we have, all videos are online that you can actually see the tour. We had in-person tours, the bond committee did. We went and visited every facility. Those videos are online. West Ranch, when it was developed, the people that bought in there were told they were gonna have an elementary school in there. They still don't.
They don't, right.
But so, they will. I mean, hopefully.
I cut you off. I don't want you to hear that. I know you said somebody's going to say, so it's going to be for a theater. No, the whole bond is absolutely not for a theater, y'all. If you've never been to Klein Elementary, it is outdated. Just the facility, just the fact that the air conditioning is still exposed in the hallways is a problem, y'all. It leaks, it condensates. We live in South Texas. Those are basic needs of our school.
When I can touch something that's on the ceiling, there's a problem.
That's been there for, right, because I'm short.
Because I'm not tall.
No, and I mean, those are just everyday things that had to, to be made up, and that's not done out of your state and federal funding. That pays teachers, it pays special education programs, it pays things like that. We have to have these facility improvements in order to progress as a school district.
We do. And you can even see online that, you know, our tax rate is still the second lowest in our area.
Even
with this increase, if it were to pass. I would just ask that all of our FISD citizens just research, you know, and make the their decision based on reviewing all the facts. And, you know, if they're not for it at that point, then, you know, okay. But I truly believe that it's a necessity.
We're blessed to have Thad Rohr as our superintendent. He is an amazing, amazing man. And to make sure that somebody's following along his vision for where we're going is so important to me. So talk to me a little bit about those committees. There's two in particular that I'd like you to hit on. We talked about it. So talk about the first one first.
Okay. So originally, I was on the strategic planning committee, which was going to plan out the next 5 years of our school district. And you were spot on. Mr. Rohr is amazing. He has got great visions. He is approachable and his communication is top notch, and he always wants to hear from everyone. The strategic planning committee was really of interest to me because it was going to carry my son through the end of his high school career. And so I was really excited to be a part of that. What I love about our district committees lately is that they include students. I mean, if you're getting information straight from the consumer, the customer, if you will, it really is impactful. And Mr. Rohr is very good about making sure that there is a diverse group of people in there. There's community leaders, there's teachers, administrators, students, and parents. It was really great. We had some great brainstorming discussions.
And that is something that's actually mandated by the state. That's not anything that's different from school district to school district. Every school district has to have a strategic committee. They have to have a vision plan. But the way in which it's implemented and the way we've heard this 21st century learner for so long, it's almost an outdated term because I know we're still in the 21st century, but we're really moving into a holistic child approach. And that is a huge proponent of that, is to look at all of the programs and see how it holistically serves our children and their family.
Absolutely.
So you've served on that committee. But you actually served on a really cool committee. Did it come out of that? Did it come out of the strategic plan?
Yes. So part of the strategic plan, the number two goal was about redefining student success. And from that came the class rank committee. And that committee was extremely important. And the strategic planning committee actually decided unanimously that that was a year one goal. There's 5 years worth of goals. They wanted to see that one happen first.
So tell me what that means. So tell me what that goal was.
So the goal was to research and decide whether or not to eliminate class rank for our schools and for the high school. And so right after strategic planning ended, they started a class rank committee, which I was blessed to be a part
of. I'm gonna play a little bit of the devil's advocate here. So for me, I know the reason why you'd get rid of class rank, but can you kind of give me your perspective on why that is, why that was so important to this committee, in particular to yourself?
It was important because when you listen to teachers and students talk about the, what I call, quote unquote, the class rank game, as far as what classes they could take to up their GPA versus what classes they really would like to take. Mm-hmm. So they might have liked to take one class, but they ended up taking another class because it was an AP class. It gave them higher GPA ranking, helped their ranking.
And because that's across the state of Texas, for those of you that don't know, across the state of Texas, if you're looking at a tier one school, one of the guaranteed criteria is not going to say that you're going to get in, but one of the guaranteed criteria for admission is that if you're in the top 10%,
right,
you make, well, for a district like Friendswood, I'm Garrett and I were talking about this prior to this, for a school district like Friendswood, their top 50% is really equivalent to a school district like Texas City's top 10%. So it almost, as a school district, puts our kids at a deficit in Friendswood ISD when you're ranking them out by just the top 10%. Because if you're top 10% minus one person, now you're not in the top 10% anymore.
Right.
And the former school administrator in me, particularly the high school administrator in me, said, I've watched kids even be as far as suicidal in their obsession with being in the top 10%. and not being able to, like you said, not being able to take the classes that they wanted to take. Oh, I'm going to have to take this one during summer school so that I can drop this class. I can't take 4 years of band because, oh my gosh, it's not worth 5 GPA points. I mean, we're talking about children, y'all. I mean, I don't know about you, but at 15 years old, 16 years old, I did not have my stuff together that well.
Well, and that was actually another reason why I was excited to be on the class rank committee, because I had the conversation with my own son. He wanted to take 4 years of Spanish. And I was like, oh, that's fantastic. I would love that. But then I heard from parents, oh, you want to take Spanish in summer school because it helps you allow for other classes for GPA purposes. But if you take it in summer school, then you can't take Spanish 3 and 4. So it's very complicated if you ask me. But also just, you know, to clarify on the class rank, the top 10% will always be ranked. That's a state law. They're going to be ranked and they are very, I mean, everybody's deserving of their rank and where
and
they
I'm not
stand.
About participation trophies. I'm not saying
I'm not
that.
About participation
okay, so keep going with
either.
That. Yep.
But after the top 10%, like you said, if you go fill out an application and you put your class rank on there, you're a number. You're a number to A&M, to UT, to all these mm-hmm. big schools. And once they see that number, they put you in a different pile. They don't look at the whole you. They don't look at your resume, what classes you took, what you were involved in. So without class rank, the elimination of class rank requires colleges to look at your big picture.
There it is.
Yep.
And that is that innovative practice that I think that is so good at pushing.
Right.
And with a strong school board, we have that same thing. We're getting outside of the norm and saying, that's not logical. That's not practical. But it's right for our students, so let's make changes.
Exactly. And I think that when the elimination of class rank came into play, it was very successful. I mean, the community did appreciate the research that went into it, and the students were grateful. Hearing from students saying that they see the emotional side of class rank on a daily basis is really eye-opening. No participation trophies, but I want everybody to go to their next step and be proud of it and not worry that they couldn't go because of a number when, like you said, a neighboring district, their number would be different.
I mean, kids move. We just talked about that. Literally, y'all, the game is so big that sometimes parents move their kids so that they can be at a higher rank. And I mean, I'm not about all that life. My kids are middle of the road kids. I mean, I went to a tier 3 school. It's going to be fine. We're all going to be fine. Right. It's going to be okay. But I think that one of the things that you said about that, when we were talking about why you wanted to run for school boards, you were like, well, I really just want to serve the community and serve. But the question that you said that you've had the mindset shift personally of how you're approaching children. Give me that sentence that you said.
Well, a couple of years ago, I started having friends that had kids that were graduating from high school or they were juniors and stuff. And when I would see them, I would ask them, what is your next step? Because to me, when you go up to somebody and say, what is your next step? They feel a little more open to be like, any and everything, college, not college, you know, trade school.
So versus maybe, saying, hey, where are you going to college,
versus
right?
Versus saying, where are you going to college? Making it to be a more broad question to where they feel like whatever their answer is a good one. And they're not embarrassed if they don't choose the college path. I truly believe that college is not for everyone. And I would love to see our school district continue to, because I think they are, I mean, I know they already do, allow for all paths. You know, there's 6,100 kids in our school district, give or take, and every single one of them is unique and everyone has their own path. And I think that when you ask what's next for you, it gives the opportunity for them to feel very confident in their next.
And that's what makes me so excited to have you running for the school board is that open-minded concept is something that we're in desperate need of, is to look at kids as, to genuinely look at kids as individuals and not just as a whole group that we're trying. Because if I'm being honest, we have some, I'm not going to generalize and say everybody, but we do have a generation of kids that are highly overeducated. They've gone to school, they've done this stuff, but they're not job ready. They're not real world ready. Right. And they're 26 and 27 years old and they don't know what they're going to do because they followed the path that and then you've got people like me that, I mean, I'm still paying for, I don't have any regrets about what I did in my former life. I don't have any, but I do truly believe my calling was to be an entrepreneur, but I had no idea that was even an option coming out of high school. I mean, I honestly didn't even know I was college bound. I followed a boy there, but you know, I mean, all of us end up in college in different ways. So, I mean, I think that's one of the really cool things.
But
so,
I think that also about you being an entrepreneur, which I think you're great at it, is that do students know that we have Incubator EDU? Do they know that there's entrepreneur classes out there? Do they know the realm of things that they can do in high school? I think they probably do via word of mouth and conversation, but if they don't, you know, the school is really good about communication, you know, very transparent. Everything's on the website and things
it's still,
like that.
It's still a lot of information. And I
it's
think
a
that,
lot.
I think that when you were saying one of the things that you think your strength is that you're going to be, you want to be a facilitator for parents. You want to help parents become more familiar with what's already being offered in the school district. You told me about a program called Mustang Academy that I knew nothing about.
Right. It just started last year. Mm-hmm. My son was a freshman and he was actually in it. And I found out about it all through a conversation with an administrator. An administrator asked me, you know, Nikki, what would you, during strategic planning, what would you like to see? And I said, I would love to see the middle average kid that, you know, makes, you know, A's, B's, is in all regular classes, maybe get pushed a little, maybe get to try to see where, you know, make instead of them just kind of coasting through school, they do great and they make great grades. Is there something else we can do to kind of help them, you know, have more self-esteem or and things like that? And she was like, well, guess what? We're starting the Mustang Academy. And so that's what I think is so neat about FISD. They're thinking ahead and they're looking forward to the future. And I would love to be a part of what comes next. I think it's just conversations between people. And I love that. I love that whenever people come up to me and we have conversations, I'm like, well, have you heard about this or heard about that? And if they haven't, oh, well, then you need to talk to this person. A facilitator is the perfect word. I want to be the person people can come to and be like, hey, I'm curious about this. I had a conversation last week with a parent of a dyslexic kid and was talking about sign language as a foreign language. That is a fantastic idea. I'll be honest, I don't know exactly what it takes to make that happen, but I love to research and I said, let me look into it. So and I started a conversation with an administrator who happened to have put that same program into CCISD. And you know, who knows? I hope it happens, it might not, but it's just conversations that lead to other conversations.
Your openness about it and your willingness to say, hey, I may not know anything about that. That's what I get from you, is that you're open-minded enough to say, hey, let me do some research about that. If you're saying that it's going to benefit our children, I'm not promising, we're not running campaigns that we're promising things we can't do.
Absolutely.
But it's the willingness to be open to, we're in desperate times that kids need connections, y'all. We can educate them all we want, or we cannot educate them. I mean, there's 101 online programs that kids can get education from. But what we're really wanting to do is build a well-rounded child that can go out into society and be a successful, productive member of society.
And proud of themselves. That's
correct.
That's the one thing that I want kids to be proud of themselves no matter what their path is. I mean, everybody's got a unique value to themselves. And I really think that it's important to, I wasn't a cheerleader growing up, but I feel like I'm a cheerleader now. I have been known to cheer for kids on the team opposite of my own son.
My children fuss at me all the time.
Because yes. I want them all to succeed.
Correct.
I want them all to be happy. I want them all to be proud of themselves. Is that a big wish? Probably, but I feel like we can get there.
But I don't think if you're not leading in with that as one of your fundamental reasons for wanting to do this, then you're missing the boat. Is
absolutely.
that our children, our customers, as a person that's come out of the education system and into the business system, those are our customers.
Right.
Are we servicing our customers the best way possible? If we're not, we should be making adjustments to that every single year.
Exactly. And I feel that's what's so great about our current administration and Mr. Rohr leading us. They're innovative all the time. I mean, they're always looking at the next thing. While we're doing the one thing, they're brainstorming the next thing. And so I think that while sometimes it takes a while and sometimes it can't always happen, I feel like that if it can happen and our school is wanting it, then we'll make it happen.
So are you taking specific questions from people? I mean, a lot of times I think in our community, we're a tiny community. I'm sorry if you're outside Friendswood and you're not really interested in the next episode is for you. But in our tiny community, there's a lot of lack of knowledge into exactly, are you open for them to message you, or how Absolutely. Can people reach you?
Of course, because of our current pandemic, getting out and doing meet and greets is not an option right Correct. Now, which I'm really disappointed in personally because I love to meet people. So I have a Facebook page. Actually, you can search Rhodes, the number 4, FISD.
Okay.
And Rhodes is RHODES.
We'll have it all linked up on this podcast for y'all.
So yes. You can search that on Facebook and find my Facebook page. Okay. And I've had many people message me through that. When they message me, we either have a conversation through that or I offer to call them, talk virtually. I've offered to do Zooms and things like FaceTime, if people want to see me in person.
Right.
I think it's just word of mouth that, getting my name out. I have an email address. I put my phone number out there.
Yep. I will put all of that link. We won't put your phone. We'll spare you the phone number linked up to our Facebook page. But I think that's important. Talk to me about that hashtag you have.
So the hashtag, all okay. roads lead to the future. So it's funny because actually my twin sister helped create that. And it started with a conversation. She said, so tell me what you want. And I said, I want all kids to feel like their path to their future is important and valued. And she goes, okay, all roads lead to the future. And I was like, that is fantastic. It's been a motto of mine for a long time. There's, like I said, 6,100-ish kids. Every single one of them's road is different. How they get there, when they get there, things like that. So I just truly feel that our district is able to support all of them. It's in the strategic plan. It's interesting, the strategic plan, most of the goals are related to students' paths, innovation, unique. We talk about safety in there. We talk about teachers and it's truly everything all in one. But the students knowing that whatever their path is that we're proud of them, then I think that that's my hope.
I think that probably one of the most eye-opening things for me I have an incoming freshman, was to sit in there and listen to the counselors talk about, y'all, these children are not mini yous. They do not have to follow the same path that you follow. They're unique individuals,
right.
They're thinkers. We want them to do that. And we are here to help you facilitate that. If sometimes the parents don't hinder that process, because at the end of the day, I mean, kids are not adults. I have a hard time coping with my day in and day out stress level. And I surely at 15 and 16 years old did not have my life figured out. So,
knowing that, like when you go into that freshman meeting, yes. They're like, what's your endorsement going to be?
What is it?
But it's going to change.
Right.
And it can change. And I think that back to class rank, the fact that eliminating that helped people really believe that they can change. Freshman year, they want one thing. Sophomore year, they want another. It gives room for more cushion, if you will, to allow for them to be adventurous in their learning. I mean, what a concept.
I want them to learn. I want them to do that while they're still in high school and not do that, not be in the 180-hour club like I was. I mean, I got 180 hours of undergraduate credit, y'all. If you didn't know, we joke at the Caldwell House that my husband got a double major, a master's degree in one semester of law school with that amount of credits, because I didn't have those opportunities
right.
in high school. I didn't know what I was doing. And I think it's great that you're on that path and that you're really looking at our children from a holistic approach. And I appreciate you doing that. And I wish you the best of luck in this. And if we can help you in any other ways, please make sure to message us on this or message Nikki directly. And I appreciate you. And remember to live happier, because adulting is hard.
Thanks, Alita.
Thanks.